Welcome, everybody, to the R&R CatCast, a fan-based podcast focusing on Montana State athletics. We're two dudes named Ryan from the state of Washington talking about our dear Montana State. We hope you enjoy.
And good evening, good afternoon, and good morning, Bobcat fans. I am your R&R basketball host, and this is Brickball. I am Zach Levere, and tonight I'm just joined by one of the Ryans, but it's the other Ryan. Thorny, how you doing today? It's a bearded edition of Brickball tonight.
Always is, man. Haven't had a clean face in quite some time. It's good to be on, man. I did the very first introduction Brickball episode, I think, and I haven't been around since then, so good to be on.
Yep, this is the first podcast that the two of us have gotten to do together.
That's right.
So Fully was going to join us tonight, but it is just me and you rocking it tonight. So a couple things to cover. It's been about 2 weeks since our last episode of Brickball, and a couple things have happened. Unfortunately, not like I predicted in the last episode, but we're here and we're riding the wave.
It's going to be a wave, man. This whole season is going to be ups and downs.
Yep, so Just a quick glance. So since our last episode, we are 1-3. We had a nice opening conference win on the road against Idaho State, and then dropped to what is going to be probably the cream of the crop and the best team in the conference in Weber. We got smoked, but so did Montana too. And then right after our last episode, we lost to Cal State Northridge, which kind of ended the non-conference, but no, it didn't, because we got this awesome, I like it, this Summit League challenge, Big Sky, yeah. Summit League. It's sweet. I'm a big fan of this little thing.
Me too.
So we had Oral Roberts at home last night in the Brick, and it did not go well. And to be honest, it had a lot of the themes that it's had throughout the season of the Cats fighting close, being up one or two at half, and then the wheels coming off the bus where we just kind of play benign halfway through the second half and then, you know, fall behind 5-6 points with a couple minutes to go, and we just find ourselves in a hole where we either go the worst way of losing by 10 or we just keep it close and then lose by a couple points at the end. But
and then miss a layup at the last second.
Wah, wah, wah. Yep, that's how things have gone. But we're here to talk about the last couple games. We're here to talk about this. I just kind of want to jump right into it and just kind of, you know, what are your thoughts on the season so far, man? We haven't gotten to talk about that. What do you kind of think?
I don't know. It's kind of hard to gauge. I have low expectations for this season with just how gutted the roster was and the talent that Logie was able to bring in. You know, he kind of had to patch a roster together. So I'm kind of just waiting and seeing. We've had some bright spots, so I've actually been pretty impressed by some of the stuff I've seen. But there are certainly some moments here, the way the guys are playing sometime, it's like, okay, well, that makes sense a little bit, I guess. So it's kind of, overall, I think it's been an okay start for what I was expecting kind of out of the situation that Matt Logie was put in. There's been some good coaching moments here. There's been some questionable stuff here. But overall, I don't know. It's probably about what I expected, I guess. Long roundabout way of saying it is what it is.
Yep. So this afternoon I dug into some Matt Logie stats trivia, just kind of, I feel a little bad for him. You know, he did take this job, you know, obviously he knew what he was getting into, you know, getting into the, you know, kind of the factor later than most coaches get into jobs when that coaching carousel came about. But to remind Bobcat fans, in his last 12 seasons as head coach, he's won 20 plus games every year besides the COVID year where he was 8-3 and made the NCAA tournament for division 2 and 3 every year. So that's a pretty good record. He's not going to make a division 1 tournament this year. So
hey,
he might not go 13 for 13. We'll see. Sorry. I'm a little pessimistic on that, but
statistically still possible to get 20 wins.
It is technically still statistically possible, but if you look at his track record, he's got a lot going for him, and he's not used to being put in this situation, which I know for him is probably incredibly frustrating, and to the players too. It's been frustrating.
Yeah, but and it also doesn't help that one of our best returning players, one of our best scorers, Patrick McMahon, got hurt again.
Third game.
The poor guy. He's played like 4 total games in the last 2 years. But he's one of our better athletes, one of our better scorers, and that was a blow on a team that didn't have a lot of productivity returning after it was kind of, you know, gutted by the portal and graduation and all that. He was going to be one of the bright spots. And, you know, he's still second on the team or third on the team in points per game. I was looking at the stats here. He's got 13 points per game in three games. I think one of those were probably against that Indian college or whatever. That was not a real
played two
contest. So he played two of those. But point is, he would have been a key contributor. So
exactly.
It's been a challenge. It's been a challenge to kind of watch sometimes and kind of get up for watching the Bobcats this year, just knowing that, hey, it's going to be kind of rebuilding process starting now.
Yep. So to get into kind of, I don't know, some Bobcat randoms, as you asked a question before I went on the last episode about Tyler Patterson and kind of Logie letting him do some stuff. I was digging into some more Big Sky stats overall. Tyler Patterson leads the Big Sky Conference in minutes played this year, average.
I think he probably did last year too. He hardly ever comes off the court.
Over Dylan Jones, over anybody in the league, he leads at 35.5 minutes a game, which is, I've watched quite a few of these games now, and sometimes he can be quiet, and sometimes, you notice him because he's chucking threes up, and you're puzzled at some points. He's making some of them, and he's not making some others, but that was another pretty big stat I had. Just a shout out, after that Weber game too, Dylan Jones is having himself a year. He's leading the Big Sky in a lot of categories across the board, and it's really impressive. He's early on making a statement for Player of the Year, and I think everybody knew that coming in, that he had a great shot at winning that.
For sure. Back to Patterson real quick. I'm actually looking at his stats right here. He's having the best year of his career.
Yep.
Yeah, easily. His best shooting, field goal percentage, his best three-point percentage. He has not missed a single free throw this year. I don't know how many that is. He's probably like 3 for 3 or something. He's not a guy who shoots a lot of free throws.
No, he's not.
But he's actually got almost 3 rebounds a game. He's got almost an assist a game, almost a steal a game. His most productive year so far by a pretty substantial margin. So good to see Patterson having a pretty good, solid senior campaign under Matt Logie.
Yep, and also good to see, Tyler Gracki really coming on strong, coming into his own, which is kind of cool to see. He's got a couple years left. I'm really excited to see, maybe not this year, but year-over-year player development for him. Yep. So
he's been fun to watch.
He has been fun to watch.
I'm excited. He's a shooter.
Oh, he is. Yeah, he's doing well, and that's something that I'm really looking forward to, especially we're getting into Big Sky play, so we're going to start seeing what happens here pretty soon.
Yeah.
But
The real basketball always starts in the Big Sky because the Idaho Conference is always so up and down, the schedule, all that stuff. And it just, now it's like, okay, what's the team really like?
Yep. Well, another thing I have on this is, I think I texted you guys. I maybe mentioned it last one. I think Robert Ford on another one of the bright sides, he could win Defensive Player of the Year. He's leading the league in steals. His turnover ratio is insane. I mean, he's got some really good defensive stats, and he's such a fun player to watch. I'm so glad he came back. Every episode I say that, but he's so fun to watch because he's just so energetic and he's always all over the court.
Yeah, he's the reason we're basically winning any basketball games.
Yep.
Like if Robert Ford hadn't returned, this team would have it'd be just a chicken with its head cut off. he's the team. He makes things happen. He's clutch. He's a good shooter. He's a good defender. He's really the Bobcats' best player right now, and he's holding it down. And yeah, he's been fun to watch. And yeah, he could make a case for the Defensive Player of the Year, but they're not going to give it to a player probably on a team that finishes 500-ish or worse.
Yep. Leads the conference at 2.9 steals a game, and he also leads the team in rebounds at 7.6.
He's such a good rebounder, man.
He's got hops, man. He's always there, but
he knows where to go.
It's just, crazy that he's the smallest guy on the court. He's been all year. He's just the smallest guy on the court, and he's down there snatching rebounds. That, like, are you almost like embarrassed to be one of the taller guys or the forwards? Like, if I was Logie, I'd be on some of the guys about that. Like, yeah, Ford's a heck of a player, and he can get down there and get those rebounds and stuff. But come on, man. If you're down there, center should always be leading teams and rebounds and forwards. Like that's a little ridiculous.
Yeah, I could see that. I could see that side of the argument.
Yeah, when your point guard's leading your team in rebounds, you're not having the best luck around the rim. But Anyway, we continue on, and I am a little upset about our loss against Oral Roberts, because I am all in on this Summit League challenge, and I don't know why I am, but whoever came up with this thing, hats off to this whole idea, because it
gives something to root for in the middle kind of part of the season.
Well, this is exactly one of those things that you need for a care about kind of just regular season college basketball. This is awesome. I'm watching games from other teams in this league that I would have no business watching, but I care because I want to see us win this little dumb little challenge that actually kind of means something. That's fun. Yeah. I mean, a lot of these teams we're playing, like the Dakota schools and stuff, like, yeah, we play them in football, but it's also kind of bled into a little bit of a rivalry into basketball, and I love it.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. It's been pretty fun to watch.
Yep. So currently, as we stand after the first round, and it's men's and women's, it's 11-11 straight tie. And I was at the game last night, and they, I don't know if they said it on the broadcast, but they went through the tiebreaker situation, because I think there's a point total of winning home or away and how you get these points. But if this thing is tied out like five tiebreakers down, which it won't get to that, the commissioners will arm wrestle for the title.
Oh my gosh. We need to see that happen.
And I'm
sorry.
It
has to happen. Tom Wistersill versus I have no idea who the Summit League commissioner is. The money's on Tom, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's intense. He's competitive, too. I would put my money on him, too. But I just would want to see that. Some charity, somebody please sponsor that. That would be awesome to see.
Yes.
So what a great way to do that. But anyway, real quick, I'd like to pivot, kind of middle show pivot, because I have it on my notes here. But how about the women winning five in a row? And I mentioned it last episode of Foley about the women's schedule, because I think at the time they had the same record as the men. But the women have played a lot of really good teams, a much tougher, much more competitive schedule. And I'm just going to rattle them off real quick. But North Dakota State, Weber State, Idaho State, North Texas, and Wyoming. And they've all won them by about 10 points. So it's not like these have been close, and they played a couple of these on the road. But the women could be a force to look out for. And I mean, if you're looking for somebody to make a run and make some noise, the women are looking really good right now.
No, I thought they were kind of going to have to struggle a little bit when Lexi Deaton got injured for this season. I'm like, oh man, like, it was a promising start. She gets hurt. They're pulling together. They're rattling off some wins. Binford, you know, she's a good coach. She's been around a long time. She's getting the best out of her players, and they're looking good.
Yep.
And they got some playmakers.
Retooling staff, retooling roster. They have some seniors who are just really balling out right now. That's awesome to see. The other thing I thought was kind of funny going into the notes is the other Big Sky champion winner of last year, Sacramento State, on the women's side are 1-11, and their coach bolted for TCU. So kind of
happens so fast in college basketball. Your head coach leaves, your roster turns over. All of a sudden, a team that was like 3 or 4 years straight winning conference titles can just be just bad.
It's crazy how it can just flip like that. It's so quick. It can
turn around fast, though.
Yes, it can. Ask my Washington Huskies and Kalen DeBoer, too, after two seasons.
Yep.
I'm still happy about that one. That's what I'm
hoping for next year. A little bit.
I was joking with a couple people, too, who were longtime Bobcat alumni about how I'm dealing with the Grizz right now. And I'm like, that's my Bobcat Grizz box right now. And I'm focusing on the Huskies and the Bobcat basketball. And I've put the football box to the side. But I know as soon as this, you know, week's over, the box will be back open and we'll be ready for spring ball. But
at least you got another college senior to root for. Like, I never attached myself to any FBS team in any tangible way. I just don't care. It's Bobcats or bust. So I'm in the dumps.
Well, hey, your Rams made the playoffs, so
that was surprising.
They had a nice little year, and they're back in the playoffs after kind of a injury ridden, you know, being in some problems with salary cap and stuff. But hey, your Rams are right back in there, and
they were 3-6 at one point this season, and they're 9-7 right now, heading into last week, and they're going to start Carson Wentz. I saw it today, so I assume this game against the Niners must mean absolutely nothing for seeding. So I assume they're putting Stafford out and just plugging in Carson Wentz is the only thing. So I think they're a 7 seed, must be locked up or something. I don't know. I don't know why you wouldn't try and win the game.
See, this is why I'm happy. Do you play fantasy football? Sorry, we're getting off tack, but I love it. Do you play fantasy football?
On and off over the years.
Yeah, depends. I played this year and did not have the best year, but was not last. And I was the commissioner, so I messed with the playoffs, and people were mad that I messed with the playoffs a little bit. But we ended the season last year because these games sometimes don't mean anything in the last year.
It's hard. The last game, yeah, there's teams that are just like not playing any starters. It's kind of worthless.
But anyway, I know Foley's been mixed emotions too with his Bengals, and that's honestly one of my favorite episodes you guys did too of, you know, I don't know, random Bobcat stuff, is when you guys broke down your fandoms of the Rams and the Bengals. I love that episode, just to sidetrack.
I think Foley's still a little salty about that Super Bowl.
That was such a good Super Bowl. It was such a good one.
It was.
But anyway, so we'll get back into things. One of the other things I kind of alluded to last episode, I'm going to bring it up, I think, every episode now, is the two stats that I really like and really appreciate is your three-point comparison to the other team, as well as rebound comparison. And, you know, I've noticed that the Bobcats, obviously, with size, and as I've said with Robert Ford, they're getting out-rebounded pretty heavily. But the Oral Roberts game last night, we actually tied in rebounding 29-29. The Weber game, we were out-rebounded 26-42. Cal State Northridge, 27-39. And then Idaho State actually out-rebounded us 23-31, which was kind of funny. But again, we have no rebounding advantage. And in a lot of the games that we lose, if you just look at our two stats, when it comes to three-point and rebounding percentage, you can almost tell the game off those two stats.
If we don't out-rebound them, we lose.
Pretty much. I thought we kind of had learned our lesson on the three-pointers, and then these last couple games, we went right back to our chucking three-pointers, shooting close to 30 three-pointers a game, and sometimes making 6 to 10 of them, and it's just not a recipe for success for us.
You know, 11 for 26 against Oral Roberts, you'd think that would win some basketball games, 42.3% from deep, hitting 11 three-pointers. Yep. It's not bad.
Oh, and that one, man, putting it towards what we got to 1 point with about 50 seconds left last night, and then that just dagger three that they hit. Oh, that hurt. But, you know, clutch shooting and clutch times will win games for you, and we just weren't there at that point. But, man, it's going to be interesting coming up. Our next three games are all against teams that are 7-8, 6-8, and 7-6, so right where we are in the wheelhouse. I don't have a good feeling at South Dakota State here. They just took Weber to the wire. It took a Dylan Jones, you know, last second shot to beat South Dakota State at their building. So we'll see. But man, my confidence level isn't great right now on that.
Oh, I'm like, what am I looking at? I'm looking at the women's schedule. Yeah.
They also play South Dakota State. It was really confusing.
I know. I saw that.
ESPN today. Like, isn't that so weird?
I thought I had to look at the record. The right one.
Like, we are not 8-6.
Okay. So we got South Dakota State, Northern Arizona, North Colorado. I don't know. I could see us winning two of those.
Yeah. It would definitely put us back on track. And, you know, you don't know after this little mini tournament what your kind of conference looks going to be. But haven't dug too much into NAU or UNC. I think I talked to them a little bit. They had played both Southern Utah, I think. I think both those teams played them, and they split.
Yeah, we won by 1 point. That was the
Tyler Garacki pump three. Oh, that was such a... Again, I know I didn't get to talk to you, but that was one of those games that it would have been a shame to lose because we just felt like the better team all night long. And then they come right back, and I just, I was not prepared for that.
All right.
Oh, Brian Garacki. Sorry.
Yeah. I keep saying it. You said
It
twice. So I was like, okay, I gotta say it. So I think it's because Patterson. I said Tyler Patterson, and you got the Tyler thought going on around your head.
Yeah.
Well, do we want to recap the games leading up to now, or do we? Where do you want to go?
Man. Well, let's go on the Idaho State win. Let's just go on that because we won that game by 10 points, and we looked good. That was a very confident, you know, road win. That was the first conference game of the Logie era, and I thought we looked really good in that, really sharp. You know, Idaho State's nothing special, but it was something that, you know, nice to see us go get a road win, which was something that was really cool.
Yeah, and we led the entire way that game.
Yep, and it was
Idaho State never really got close.
Yeah.
They did a little bit at the end there. I think they got within like 6, I'm looking at, but it was basically like a comfortable 8 to 12 point lead like the entire game. It was a dominant performance. It's one of the better ones I've seen for a Bobcat road team. We didn't make many mistakes. We just kept the foot on the gas. I know it wasn't, like you said, Idaho State's nothing special, but a road win that you dominate the entire game, feel good about coming out with an 8-point win. Like, I'll take that anytime. I think Danny Sprinkle would have taken that anytime.
Absolutely. And we're still getting used to, that was another thing I was going to bring up, is we're shooting a lot less free throws this year than we were with under Sprinkle's teams, as well as we're having other teams shoot a lot more free throws. I don't know if you can hear them on the broadcast, but they do a Taco Bell thing where if a team misses two consecutive free throws, you get free tacos. And I have walked out of the arena, I think, every game with a free taco coupon, but it's just a noticeable
thing. Who's sponsoring
it? It's like, I don't know, one of the local Taco Bells in the Gallatin Valley or something like that. You get free Doritos,
Locos Taco. It's a Taco Bell, okay. That's funny, they're going to have to cancel that here soon.
stop fouling and stop having people, which you would think, you know, those two ends haven't been really full. So you think you'd be able to focus on your free throws, but nope, somebody's missed two consecutive free throws every game.
Hey, sometimes that's even more weird when you're shooting a free throw. Is there an empty arena and there's nobody like making any noise? It's almost even harder to, it weirds you out.
Yeah. So anyway, so we go to Idaho State. We get that win. Yeah, the box score didn't really show. That was the anomaly in our win. I actually tried to dig in to the box score to try to see, you know, what stood out, and the threes and it, to, you know, counter my point, the threes and the rebounds didn't really show for that one. But we, our steals were better, our ball discipline was better, our turnovers ratio was better. We played a much cleaner game against a lesser opponent, and sometimes, you know, we've played dirty games against lesser opponents and lost. So to go on the road and make that win was a good statement. It also feels like we just haven't played at home. I mean, besides yesterday's game, we just haven't been at home for the last like 20 days. Not 20, yeah, but like 15 coming on 20 days. So, I mean, it's been a long break in action of playing road games and being out there. And now we get to have these, we go to South Dakota State, we got one more, and then we get these two play games at home, and we'll see what happens. We don't have,
four straight.
Yeah, four straight. We don't have killers on the schedule coming up. We can ease back into it, and the students will be back in town. So please show up. Please get out there. Please support this team. They need it. We need to bake the brick loud because it's, you know, we got to get that attendance up. We got to support this team.
Yeah, but it's going to be hard. Like, it's, attendance has been a struggle for a long time, and they got a little bit better under Sprinkle, but even then it's not as good as it used to be. I mean, that's just kind of a college basketball problem in general, but yeah, get out there. Cheer on the Bobcats.
Yeah, exactly.
Win some tacos. Eat some tacos.
Win some tacos. Yeah, as a college kid, please go get your Doritos Locos Tacos. I'm telling you, it's almost a guarantee every game to get it.
Yeah, what college kid doesn't want free tacos? Come on.
Oh, man. Well, man, you got anything else? I know it's a little late tonight. We're going a little short. But do you have anything else, kind of expectations, anything that's been on your chest about this team coming up?
No, not really. You guys have been doing a good job. I've been watching when I can. I've watched at least a part of every single game. Like, I don't know. One thing I noticed against Oral Roberts, and I want to kind of bring it up. The first time I've seen the Bobcats this year looked really just kind of lost.
Yep.
Like, they were playing really well in spurts, but there were some possessions where it looked like even just trying to figure out how to hand the ball off was a challenge. Like, they weren't communicating. So I don't know, what were your thoughts there in the arena when have you seen that flash up this year? That's the first time it really kind of flashed on my side when I was actually watching. I'm like, we look super disjointed right now.
Yeah, bad turnovers kind of have been an issue. 4 to 5 bad turnovers have been kind of a problem all year so far that I've noticed. Seriously, off his knee again, or just miscommunication on a pass, or disjointedness. And I 100% agree. We were talking about it last night. We just look lost. I think Logie looks a little lost with some of these guys in his scheme and his implementation. And I don't know how you fix that. I don't know. I think it's, you know, identifying it's good, but it was painful. It's painful to watch that. And I hope they fix it. You don't have to go beat South Dakota State, but I'd like to see, you know, improvement there. I think that was the theme of the year too, is improvement. And I think we took a couple small steps forward, and I think we took a little bit of a back step this past, you know, getting schwacked by Weber didn't help, but I think we took a little back step in that Oral Roberts game. That was a game that I was expecting us to win. That was a game that I, you know, felt we were confident enough to win by, you know, not a ton, but a couple points. And, you know, we did our Bobcat thing this year where we just went in and played it close, looked good. I even texted, I was like, hey, we got off to a good start. I like how we're playing. And then it just kind of, you know, didn't go the way we thought. And it was a typical second half where we just kind of dribbled it away and those turnovers and stuff. And then, you know, good for them for fighting back in the last minute or two, but you can't overcome mistakes like that. And it's become a proven issue.
No, there was a 4 minutes and 16 seconds left in the game. It was 68-67 Oral Roberts.
Yep.
And then it ballooned up to, and I had actually stopped watching. It was 75-69 with like a minute or so left. I was like, I was like trying to get my daughter to bed. I'm like, that's probably ball game. And then I think you texted Dagger. So you had texted when Oral Roberts hit that dagger. And I was like, what do you mean dagger? The game's been over for a few minutes, but I didn't realize the Cats had made a little furious comeback. But you're right. You can't have that lapse in the crucial time of the game like that. Like, this isn't the first time that the Cats have made a little comeback. Robert Ford himself has personally made like a little comeback. There was a game earlier this year. I don't remember which one it was, but he basically willed us back into the game and forced an overtime or something like that. I don't remember what game it was, but it's good to have that in your wheelhouse, but you got to play well the entire time and not have that come to that. So I think consistency is going to be a big work upon, as Foley likes to say, for the Cats this year. They haven't played together a lot. There's guys that, you know, they just need to play more together. I think it'll probably get better just in terms of pure on the court chemistry, because sometimes the chemistry just looks bad. I'm not sure it's even a coaching issue. Like, the guys just don't look, they're playing well together.
Yep.
Like, they don't know what the other one's going to do. They don't like have that, like, hey, you're going to be there, I know exactly where you're going to be, because they've played together for 3 years.
Yeah.
And they're still kind of learning how each other plays.
Yeah. That prediction, that chemistry is absolutely right. Last kind of note I have here, Eddie Turner, I thought had a really good game. I thought that was one of his best games as a Bobcat. Coming into his own as a transfer too. I mean, we got this weird mix of transfers and then guys who stayed. And it's so weird to think about, like, Gracky, you know, just the guys who are on the floor who are transfers. And then you got the guys who stayed, man, it's a weird year. It's weird because, like, we don't know these guys. We know a couple of them, but I'm still getting to know these guys on the floor. So chemistry is definitely an issue. We'll see more as we get into the season. And then hopefully, you know, as we get into next year too, a lot of these guys will grow into their own, and that's what I'm looking for. But we'll see, man. We'll just kind of get into it. I don't really know what to say else on that, but yeah, I just want to see improvement. I just want to get rid of the little turnovers. I think that's my biggest thing. The dumb dribble off the leg turnovers, the pass directly to defenders where a guy's not even in position. I just want to get rid of those.
Yeah, you can't just have those lapses. It seems like when things go bad, it all goes bad, and it's the dumb turnovers. Those are all things you can fix, I think. I think the Cat ceiling, you know, it's not super high this year, we'll be honest, but I think they can do better than they are. I think they can improve. And I think they could, you know, there's a possibility the Cats could go into the tournament time and win a tournament game.
Yeah. Well, the good news is there's a lot of teams that are 1-1 in conference right now, and it just kind of looks like it could be a beat-up year. And if it's a beat-up year, that would be perfect for the Bobcats.
Yep.
I mean, you know, you're going to have your top teams. I think Weber and Eastern are going to be really good. I think Portland State's also going to have a pretty decent year. But I think you got a lot of teams that are going to be like us. We're going to be 6-8 right now, and we're going to figure out, you know, who those teams are. And so that's going to be the biggest thing, is figuring out who's going to be, you know, I don't know, 10-8 in conference, or, you know, 8-10 in conference. That's going to be a big difference, because I think there's going to be 4 or 5, maybe 6 teams all sitting right there.
Yeah, there's no clear favorites. So as long as the Cats can hang around in that kind of second tier, I'd be pretty content with this season. Like, happy, maybe a strong word, but happy enough if we can just hang around. And for Logie's first year with how the roster turned over, that's what I'm hoping for.
Yep. All right, man. Well, all right, Cats fans, just keep watching, keep supporting this team. If you have questions or anything like that, go on the Instagrams, go on the socials, Twitter, we're active on them. And we'll try to answer questions, or if you have anything you want us to talk about, we'd love to hear from you.
Sounds good.
All right, man, you got anything else?
That's all I got for tonight.
All right, man, how about a go Cats?
Go Cats.
Go Cats.